I love Casting Crowns, don't you? And I love that song, Listen to My Heart. You know, the song that Phil Wickham sings, House of the Lord, he wrote that song during the pandemic, you know, being closed in. And he just, you know, he just loves to sing. If he can't do that, then he's lost. And he was sitting in his house one day, and God showed him that he is the house, and the joy should be in his house. And that's why he wrote that song. If you really read why they write the songs, they mean so much more to you. Amen. They do to me anyhow. So I was showing my grandson Gabriel the other day that there's a 100-year-old woman who's bench pressing. And she's in the Guinness's World Book of Records, whatever you call it. Now, she walks with a cane, but she can bench press. And so Gabriel said, well, if she can do that, you can do that too. I won't bench press, but I can live to be 100, right? That encouraged me. But then she used to be a line dancer and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, she can't just sit by, idly by. She has to do something. But so that should encourage each and every one of you in here tonight. This morning, this is morning, right? That you can live to be 100 years old if you so desire. What does the Bible say? It gives us 120 years. So why do we settle for 80? Yeah. I said, I'm not going to die at 80. I have too much to live for, right? I haven't finished my life yet, right? So you have to determine, you know, how long you want to live. And do you want to live it healthy, or do you want to live it, you know, bound up in a bed somewhere? When you say I shall live and not die, that means you're going to be joyous, victorious, and everything else. You know, come on. God is good to us all the time. You know, I think it was last night I was teaching or talking, and I said, we read the scripture that every believer, you know, can cast out demons and everything. And I felt in my spirit that that didn't sit too well with some people, either somebody in here or somebody online. And it's been keep in my spirit that somebody's upset about that. So this morning when I was getting dressed, God just gave me Acts 19:11-16. Let's read that real quick. It says, now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, we exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches. They didn't know who Jesus was, but all right. Also, there were 7 sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? Then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. See, so not, these people believed in something. Not everybody sits in the house of God as a believer. That's my statement. And not everybody can go out there and do the signs, wonders, and miracles. You have to have the prerequisites. You have to do what God's telling you to do in order to have the power and the authority to go out there and perform miracles. Now, I do know, because I knew people who, you know, got born again and the gifts became active, but then they went back into sin, but still the gifts were working. And I asked God, how come they can lay hands on the sick and they recover? And God said, because my gifts are without repentance. So when you become born again and you're serving God with all your heart and he gives you the gifts, and then you backslide, the gifts are still there. And so you're working out of the soulish realm instead of the spirit realm. Because God, I asked God about that. He said, because people work out of the soulish realm and not out of the spirit realm. But a true believer can do everything that the Bible tells us we can do. All right. So just always remember that. And if anybody has any concerns about that, tell them to go to the Bible themselves and search it out, and they'll find the truth. We aren't going to teach anything that leads anybody astray. and we're not going to, you know, twist the Bible. We're not going to take things out of context. When God speaks, he speaks the truth of his word only. All right. Father, I just thank you right now, and I praise you, and I give you all honor and all glory. Father, these people who came out this morning, they're your children. They are hungry and they're thirsty for fresh manna from heaven, or they would not be here. So, Father, I'm asking you right now that you reach down through the portals of heaven and you touch each and every person in here in a different way than you've ever touched them before, and that you bring them into a deeper place in your bosom than you've ever brought them before. Your word says deep is calling unto deep. And Father God, these people sitting here this morning have proven to you, because they've been here every day, that they want to go into the very depth of your being. And Father, I'm asking for a deeper walk this morning. I'm asking, Father God, that that your mighty wind blows over them, blows all the chaff that the enemy tries to place around about them, and sets them totally and completely free to go unhindered into the highways and the byways and perform your word, your signs, wonders, and your miracles, and cause the lost and dying to come into the house of the Lord. Amen. I just want to ask a question with you all that were here tonight. The words that God spoke over you, did anything happen? You know, did they have a meaning to you? Because something shifted in the atmosphere yesterday. And God wasn't able to do what he wanted to do last night. I do know where some of it came from, but I don't know where it all came from. So whatever God spoke over you, I'm just really asking you to hold on to that, because God's spoken and it will happen. All right. But when the atmosphere shifts like that, it's because something demonic's working against what God's trying to do. And this is what happened. So, and it's really caused a lot of problems in the atmosphere with what God is trying to do with this miracle service. So I'm just asking you to hold on to what God is doing to you and through you and for you, and don't allow the enemy to steal anything from you. All right. So let's see, God, this is what God's saying this morning. I am now drawing you near to me, and I am calling you to the threshing floor. I have been preparing you to meet me at this place. Do not resist it, but rather embrace this place. I am the God who redeems his people, and I am redeeming you from your past. Where there has been loss, I promise to restore. Where there has been lack, I will begin to pour out a blessing that you will not be able to contain. Now, God has spoken to that to us before, and he's speaking to that to us still. He still is going to give us every promise. He's going to fulfill every promise he's given us. God said, trust me now as I draw you into a season of separation. I am separating you unto myself, away from everything that would attempt to defile you. All right. Disappointment and lack have endeavored to draw you into agreement with lies from the accuser. The enemy has said your God has forgotten you. He has turned his face from you. But I say to you today that I am God, your maker, your redeemer, and the one who fulfills word and covenant. I am separating you from lies, from the world, and from everything which attempts to negate my word to you. Now, if you're not going through that is wonderful. I'm going through that right now. And so I was glad God spoke that. You know, God always knows where you're at, and he knows how the devil is fighting you. So God will always speak into your situation. So don't let the enemy lie to you and tell you you're not where God wants you to be, because you are. And God said, trust me, let my word work for you and transform you. My word will fight for you. Wield your sword and rest in me as you enter into my divine favor and your appointed season of redemption. You know, we know that God gave us the glory, right? We know that God is taking us into a special place in his kingdom. But we also know that the enemy is upset with all that. And he's going to come now and war with us. And he's going to try to steal everything that God's been doing for us, especially since God anointed us to be glory carriers. I mean, now you're a real threat to the enemy. And now he is upset with you. And he is going to now come and try to attack you. Are you listening here? Don't give in to his warfare. God said, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. Spending more time in my presence will strengthen you for the days ahead. Trusting me involves you stepping into the unknown. And do not hesitate to meet with me. Do you not know that my word promises to watch over every promise I have given to you? Therefore, trust me to fulfill what I have spoken. Trust me and know that the threshing floor is your breakthrough place. Allow me to redefine your future and make it clear to you. Now, I didn't think God could get any clearer than what he's been through these services that we have. But he knows what we're facing. And he knows that some of us are going to start questioning, you know, what really happened to us. And so he is now re-strengthening us and telling us to keep going and don't stop. God said, watch how I will use the past pressure of your life to press you into a greater anointing. Watch how the oil from your life will begin to flow because of the press you have endured. The finest oil, the anointing, comes from intense pressure. For you shall be a balm of healing to many and release the glory and anointing of breakthrough to others. At the threshing floor, you will find favor and be empowered to fulfill your destiny. Lack will be overtaken by the overflow of my blessing. So, and you know that we are continually pressed on all sides. We know that the enemy comes at us from every angle. If you don't know that, well, I'm telling you that. There is not one issue in or area in your life that he does not press you. Because he's going to keep pressing until he finds your breaking point. And so what we have to do as children of God is to never have a breaking point. We have to keep ourselves secure in the arms of God, constantly knowing that he is in full control. You know, like somebody said to me, you're always saying God's in control. And I believe that, or I wouldn't say that. God is in control of all things in our lives because we belong to God. Just like when you have children, you're in control of their life, right? And you care for them, and you pray for them, and you love them, you nourish them. And this is what God does to us, and he is in control of our lives. If we've turned our lives over to him, he's a gentleman. He's not going to come to you and say, you will get under my control. He won't say that. You will love me. He won't say that. All right. Most of us are familiar with the story of the prodigal son and how he left his place of blessing in search of worldly treasures. Now, the prodigal son foolishly spent his entire inheritance and eventually lived as a slave, barely surviving in a pig's pen. He realized that he would be much better off returning home, even if he had to be a servant. And upon his return, his father did not hold back his love. See, when you walk away from God and then 5 years later come back, God still loves you, and he's still standing there with open arms, welcome you home. Rather than rebuking his son for an unwise decision and possible rebellion, the father lavished him with unconditional love and forgiveness. You see, and this is what happens in the body of Christ. If we backslide, then the church makes us feel like we're foreigners, and they actually tell us that God, you know, we're going to go to hell and God doesn't love us, and that's not true. There isn't anybody that follows God that has not at one point in their life sat down and thought, yeah, I'm just going to quit. I haven't met anybody yet that tells me that they haven't felt that way. You know, the pressure gets so hard and so strong. And I was, after I read what God said, I got to thinking, you know, that is true. You know, you get into Christ, you're all enthusiastic, you know, and you're just in there all gung-ho and working your heart out, you know, for God. And 30 years later, you sit down and say, is this really working? You know, is this really working? Nobody's lives are being changed. At least we don't see the lives being changed. See, we don't see what Jesus sees. His lives are being changed, but we don't see it. So then we get into depression and say, you know, God, this, I don't know if I want to continue on this road or not. And, you know, and God spoke to me this morning, said every one of his children have gone down that road at one point. You're thinking, you know, have I missed you? Have I not? Did I not do it right? You know, why am I not seeing more fruit from the people? You know, so don't beat yourself up if you get there, because you will get there after 40 years. You know, and you don't see any changes. See, and after 40 years, I said, God, I said, you're going to have to do something, because the word is not changing people. You're going to have to come in with all your might and your power, and you're going to have to drop upon the people in order to change them. Because we preach the word here every which way you can preach it, right? And as often as you can preach it. And really, and see, if you would just yield yourself to God, the pressures of life would lift, and you would have all the power and authority of God, and you wouldn't have to have him have a special meeting just so he could drop on you, because he would just be there, because, you know, you love him, and you just take it for granted that he's always going to be there, and he is. He's always going to be there. I just laid in bed praying last night, and I said, God, I started crying, and I said, God, I really want you to forgive me for even getting discouraged every now and then. But, you know, I believe Jesus got discouraged too. You know, I really believe he got discouraged too. And I really, really, really wasn't down to Molly Grubbs. I was just telling God I was really sorry. And, you know, and just like my kids, if we get into tiff, you know, they'll come say, I'm sorry. And, you know, and we just hug each other and, you know, and go on our ways. And that's what I do with God. I just go, I'm really sorry, Father. I'm supposed to be an uplifter, and here I am dragging my feet myself. You know what I'm saying? And you're all going, everybody's going to go through that. It's just, like God says, it's just life. You're just going to go through that. So don't be kicking yourself all over the place. If you find yourself in that place, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Just tell God you're sorry and just move on. And I'm hearing God say, this is not the time to get discouraged in your walk with him. This is a time to be rejoicing with great joy because of the things he's bringing us into. All right, so when God is no longer king, we lose the joy of our song. Leaving the bread of life, who is Jesus, causes us to not experience completeness. And we already know that true joy can only come through our relationship with our Father. And Nehemiah 3:10 says clearly, it says, the joy of the Lord is our strength and stronghold. So when we sort of back off from God, we lose our joy. When we lose our joy, then we have no strength. We have no strength, and the enemy comes in and he can do anything he wants to with us. Right? You know, as parents, I know sometimes as parents, we get frustrated. We think, God, I've done everything I know to do to raise these kids right, and they're still doing wrong, you know, and you go on and on and on, you know, telling God. And really, truly, just give it to God. Just give it to God and you move on, because you can't change anybody. And God's even having a hard time changing them, you know, loving them. And so we have to move on and just quit our struggling with something that we can't change. All we can do is love, right? And pour ourselves into the people and just let God change them. All right, we just read Nehemiah 3:10, and this passage confirms that our strength comes from the joy we experience in Jesus. In fact, it becomes a stronghold, a place of divine protection. How many of you have just, this whole time this miracle service has been going on, you just have joy? You know, you don't even think about what's going on around about you. You just have joy, right? I mean, sometimes I feel a little weird. I thought, well, I should be getting upset or something. But I don't. I have constant joy. That's because our strength is in God. You know, where we're staying in where God wants us to be, and where we're receiving the fullness of who God is. And that you always have joy. Is he going to take care of your problems? Absolutely. Absolutely. Is he going to take care of you from the crown of your head to the sole of your feet? Absolutely. How many, you know, they're saying we're going to have a food shortage. How many of you are concerned about that? Don't nobody in here raise your hand, or I'll have to throw something at you. Amen. But I said to somebody, I wonder how many ravens God has in store to feed us, start feeding us, right? God can feed me with a raven. I really don't care. You know, he told us, he said this was all coming and he would take care of us. Isn't that what he said? Well, then you better start believing that. Quit shaking your head and just saying yes and say, I believe, I believe, I believe, and really believe. All right, many of us can relate to a bitter season in life, right? Because we stood strong, God has brought all of us through those seasons, never to go back there again. It was in those bitter seasons that we were tested and tried. Isn't that right, Aaron? Taken through the furnace of affliction over and over again. Right, Aaron? Through all those bitter seasons, we stayed close to the fire. Right? Because of this bitter season, we carry God's presence wherever we go. Don't curse the bitter seasons. They were for our good. And it strengthened us. And it built integrity in us and character. But some of the brethren lost heart during the bitter seasons and left their first love. These are the ones that God has raised up to minister to. God raised you up, and now he wants you to go to minister to other ones who have lost heart and feel like there's no way back. Amen. Every time somebody in the house of God is down, we need to put out an alert that a brother or sister is down, and we need to pray for them and strengthen them until we get them back up on their feet again. You know, we don't kick them while they're down. And I know when I first became born again, I found out the church will kick you when you're down. They don't want to help you back up again. And so that always bothered me. And so I've always tried to, when somebody's down, help them back up again. There's too much, I'm hearing God say, there's too much bitterness in the house of God to begin with. And so that bitterness just breeds more bitterness and more hate and more confusion. And God doesn't want us to be bitter. He wants us to be full of love and compassion and concern for one another. All right, God told us that once again we have found favor in his eyes. That's what he's been telling us, right? He has filled us with his ultimate love, grace, strength, and joy to fulfill our future. All right? God has told us that once again we have found favor in his eyes. He has filled us with his ultimate love, grace, strength, and joy to fulfill our future. He doesn't just say, oh, look at that dummy down there. You know, he says, we need to go there and strengthen them. I need to send somebody to them that can minister to them. So each one of you sitting in here this morning, you have people that I'll never meet. And God will send them to you so you can minister to them. Make sure you minister to them with love and grace. The same love and grace that God and compassion God gave you, that's what you're supposed to give to the down and outers. Even the prodigals that God's going to bring back into the house. Some of the prodigals are ones that have really come against you and ridiculed you and cursed you. And God's going to say to you, go there and love them. And you're going to have to say, thank you, God, for strength. Right? But I'm going to tell you, you can love those who have come against you. You can love those who have cursed you and defiled you. You really can. See, God makes me go through all this stuff, then he has me teach it. And he'll do that to you too. He'll make you go through things because if you don't go through them and you don't know the victory, you can't lead anybody else into victory. Oh, geez. You're saying, God, really? Do I really have to go through that? Amen. If we continue to cling to God's favor on our lives, we will reap a bountiful harvest. We cannot allow a loss or a disappointment to get us to follow a different path than one God has ordained for us to follow. We must continue to lock on to God's favor. Now, didn't God tell some of you the other night, one of the services, that you had found favor in heaven? So what are you saying here? If we cannot allow loss or disappointment to get us to follow a different path than the one God has ordained for us to follow. We have found favor. You guys, I thought that was awesome. I thought it was awesome, and others that didn't hear it, they got upset. But that doesn't mean you don't have favor in God. That was God. That was what God wants to do. Remember, you were being tested. Can you rejoice because your brother or sister found favor and God didn't tell you you did? Wow, who do they think they are? Look what I've done. God didn't tell me that. Aha, you failed your test. See what I'm saying? We have to be able to be happy with somebody that God blesses. All right? Favor is a gift to each of us. When we used our faith in our bitter seasons, it empowered us to be in the right place at the right time. Boy, I tell you what, when I get in bitter places, I say, God, do I still find favor in your eyes? If I do, then I ask him something, you know? Right? All right, so, you know, I said, I was praying for somebody the other day, and I said, God, if I still find favor in your eyes like I did years ago, will you please do this, this, this for this person? Years ago, you let me do that, and you did it. Now, do I still have the same favor with you? And if so, would you please do this? You understand that? You have to, God wants you to talk to him. You know, he likes a good argument. He does, and you have to talk to him, and he wants to see just how much you're committed to what you're asking him to do. According to what God has been telling us, we have entered into a season of great favor. God is going to introduce us to important people who just happen to need your services. Your business card will just happen to be illuminated to someone who needs you to apply for a job at their office. Begin to expect it. It's going to happen. God's been telling us that. We're going to find a favor where we go. And if you have a business, he's going to increase the business, you know. But do you really believe that? I see your husband back there holding your hand and everything else. So you're a millionaire. There he was. He always lose his money bag. Come on. I don't blame you. I wouldn't either. You better pray that she continues to find favor. Yeah, he said he's going to. All right, God has been continually encouraging us to go forth, even though he took us through hard places, right? And when God separates the wheat from the chaff, he is removing that which was worthless. That's what he was removing. When we were in that hard place, God used it as a place of separation. How many of you went through a place of separation where, you know, just felt all alone and you really didn't know who you could call or talk to or anything, you know, you just knew you were in a barren place. And God, whenever you're in that barren place, God was separating the junk from your life. And I hope you stayed in that barren place. And I hope you allowed God to work that junk off of you so that then he can send you forth totally free from all the chaff that the enemy had placed around about you. You know, if you're around a lot of people that are in sin, all their junk tries to come on to you, doesn't it? Now, Nancy, I was up all night too, so quit closing your eyes back there. Poke her every now and then. Okay, let me see here. God separated us from the shame or the rubbish of our past, and during this season, the goodness of God is being realized. This season right now we're headed into, the goodness of God, we're going to realize the goodness of God because he has promised us that right now he's going to start fulfilling every promise he ever gave to us. All right? The accuser always tempts us to focus on our mistakes, our losses, and our pain, but God has clothed us. And let's look at Zechariah 3:1-5. Then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to oppose him. See, the devil's always standing there trying to oppose you also. And the Lord said to Satan, "The Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is this not a brand plucked from the fire?" Now Joshua's cloak was clothed with filthy garments and was standing before the angel. Then he answered and spoke to those who stood before him, saying, "Take away the filthy garments from him." And to him he said, "See, I have removed your iniquity." He's talking to Joshua. "I have removed your iniquity from you, and I will clothe you with rich robes." And I said, "Let them put a clean turban on his head." So they put a clean turban on his head, and they put the clothes on him, and the angel of the Lord stood by. So God removed the old wineskin from Joshua and breathed new life into him, and God did the very same thing to us. He removed the old wineskin and breathed life into our vessels. And the wind of the Spirit has been blowing upon us, and divine favor rests upon God's true children. The other night, when somebody else was ministering, and there was somebody sitting, you know, in one of the seats there, and I couldn't get anybody's attention, but I wanted them to put a cloth over their shoulders, because God said, I'm dressing them in a royal robe right now. And I know the person had, you know, had some sin in their life, but God was cleansing them as they sat there, and then God was putting a royal robe on them. And I was wanting somebody to get a cloth and put on them, and I was going to tell them what God was doing, but because of what was going on, I didn't get a chance to do that. But I thought that was awesome, that I actually witnessed that, and God doing that to a person sitting right here in this sanctuary. Luke 22:31 said, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. And God said, Jesus said, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. But Peter said to Jesus, Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death. And then he said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you will deny three times that you know me. Once in my walk with God, you know, when I was a minister, God gave me that scripture. And I was shocked. Because if you read it, it said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you. So first of all, Satan went to God and asked for me, right? Why? That he may sift you as wheat. And then Jesus said, but I prayed for you. So Peter was going to be sifted. What he did, he denied Christ. And I forgot what I did at that given time, but I did something where Satan asked to sift me, and God allowed him to sift me. And then Jesus said, but I have prayed for you. So all this time I was being sifted, and you got to think about this. Jesus was praying for me. Why? That my faith would not fail. But then Jesus says, and when you have returned to me. So Peter was going to go ahead and get messed up, and Satan was going to sift him. But because Jesus was praying for him, then Peter then got his act together. And Jesus said, and when you return to me, strengthen your brother. Then Peter went out and ministered to the people. So see, you might go through a sifting experience yet. But if you're in a sifting experience, then understand that Jesus is praying for you. And not to give up hope while you're in this sifting experience, because according to Jesus, you're going to return. And when you do, you have a better testimony than when you had before you went through the sifting process. Are you understanding that? See, you're stronger after you're sifted. You're stronger because you're submitted to the devil that he sifted you, and you're submitted yourself because you did something so he could sift you. All right? Many have been a Peter, but like Peter, you have come to your senses, risen up and said no more. All right? I can just about agree with you that everybody in this room has been a Peter at one time. And you finally, like me, you got so mad at the devil and yourself that you got your act together. Jesus told Peter Satan desired to sift him as wheat, but he, Jesus, was praying for him. Jesus has been interceding for each one of his children for years and even decades. And God has called us to rise up and strengthen our brethren. That's why I can have compassion for you guys when you stumble, because God had compassion for me when I stumbled. He was there praying for me whenever I was being sifted. He was praying for me when I had left my first love, which I didn't know I did. And he said, daughter, you've got to return back to your first love. And that just made me cry my eyes out, knowing that somewhere along the line I did something wrong, you know. And so whenever I see somebody else stumble and fall, I immediately say, we need to pray for our brother or our sister, because I know Jesus prayed for me. And I know other people were praying for me, because God told me one time when I was going through a twit, he said, there's people praying for you all over the world. They know your name all over the world, and they're praying for you. Well, that blew my mind. So the same is with you. God has given your name to people all over the world, and they're praying for you. Why? Because he doesn't want you to stay sifted. He wants you to rise back up again and then go and strengthen your brethren. All right? And 2 Corinthians 6:17 says, therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. He's telling the church that we need to get out of sin, separate ourselves from sin, and just be God's child and do the things that God has called us to be. We finally understand that God never forgets us. He never forgets where we are, but he also uses everything we walk through to conform us into his divine image. God's covenant promises never fail. Sometimes wondering why you're walking through the poop, it's because God's trying to strengthen you or do something different in you. Trying to let you see something that you couldn't see until he made you walk through that dry place. Instead of doing that, you say, well, okay, God, you don't care about me because you're not doing anything in my life. You know, you get all in a huff. He does care for you, and that's why he's allowing you to go through that, because he knows if you don't go through that, you'll never mount anything for him. You'll never be a strong tower that others can run into. Go ahead and cry at night, make your pillow all wet. That's fine, you know, but then don't stay there. You know, rise up in the morning and thanking God that he knows how strong you really are and what you can really take, and thank him that he thinks so much of you that he's placed all these lives in front of you to bring into heaven. God has promised us that he will bring forth grain and a full harvest. Your vats will overflow with wine and oil, and the new wine is a symbolic of the Holy Spirit, and the oil is symbolic of the anointing. And yeah, the time that person took me, that pastor took me and took a whole bottle of olive oil. I mean, it was a big, poured that thing all over my head. It went running down over me. I didn't understand what she was doing, but I did later. God was setting me apart for his ministry with a powerful anointing. Are you understanding this? You know, God will send different people into your lives to get you prepared for what he's calling you forth to do. God's body is now ready for the increased anointing on their lives. We are expecting an anointing of favor and power. God is the God of more than enough. God's trying to increase the power and the anointing on our lives through these miracle services. And not only trying, I really believe he's doing a really good job of it, don't you? We have been on to the threshing floor. Now it is time for the overflow of God's blessings to be released. We can quit getting beat, the shaft beaten off of us. It should be all gone, right? And Joel 2:23-24 says, be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. For he has given you the former rain faithfully, and he will cause the rain to come down for you, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. The threshing floor shall be full of wheat, and the vat shall overflow with new wine and oil. God is trying to tell you this morning that your vat, your vessel, is full of his oil, his joy, his laughter. And he's trying to tell you that you are now ready, and he gave you his glory. You're a glory carrier, and he wants you to go forth and spread that joy wherever you go and bring others into the kingdom of darkness. All right, so we have Daryl back there, you know, who knows what it is all about drugs, and God's bringing him into the house of God because he wants to use Daryl to go and tell other drug addicts, hey, you know, there's something better than the high you get from a needle or whatever you take. You can get a high on Jesus. You can get drunk on the Holy Spirit, and you don't get sick afterwards. You don't have a hangover. You just have total and complete joy. But if Daryl doesn't stay with God, then God's going to have to bypass him and find somebody else. And this is how God works. But God pulls people in, and he works with them and tries to get them to be vessels that he can work through. All right. I mean, I was really innocent until I got introduced to drugs. I didn't do drugs, but to drug people. That blew my mind. First of all, God introduced me to drug people and then introduced me to perversion. And this little country girl was just thrown through for a loop. And I said, God, why do I have to endure all this? He said, because that's who you're going to be dealing with. And you have to see it from the ground up. So you know how to have love and compassion for them. See that? See how that works? Kelly, you know about the drug scene. So now you can have more love and compassion for others who, I mean, you weren't on drugs, but you now were experienced, you exposed that. Now you can have more love and compassion for others when God sends them your way. You probably didn't handle the situation like you should have from the beginning, but then see, God's teaching you as you go. And I have the Holy Spirit all over me for this. He's teaching you as you go. So now you'll do things differently. And because I did that too, you know, I mean, this is a foreign world. That was a foreign world to me, one I've never, ever entered into. And now all of a sudden there I am right in the very center of it, watching it all happen. And, you know, it's when you're a virgin like that, you know, to sin like that, that blows your mind. But when you're used to it, that's life. I still can't say it's life because you're not living when you're addicted. But God has promised that he's going to bring an anointing that's going to rip that addiction right out of people. And they're going to change right before your eyes. All right. So let's not put the addicted people down. Let's give them the love and compassion that God gave you. And yeah, you might get a little bit upset, but don't let it make you ignorant and bitter and cold and all that kind of junk. You know, you have to have the love of God for those people or they're never going to come back. Never. So I said, we have entered into a season of joy and laughter, singing songs of joy that cause our feet to dance with great joy. And, you know, this is where we're really at. And I'm going to be honest with you today, okay? I love casting crowns. Sometimes I get tired of the ding, 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 ding of that guitar. I really do. But I know that's where God's at. So, you know, I say, Holy Spirit, just, you know, help me get through this. And because that's what God wants right now, because that's where the people are at. And so I have to do what God wants me to do. And so when I get a Casting Crowns song in here, I just, oh, thank you, Jesus. But you know what? The Casting Crown song isn't going to help the unsaved at first. It's like Brandon Lake, he went and had his arms tattooed in his arm just because he wanted to reach the lost. And he said the only tattoos he has on there is all about Jesus. It's his life history on his arms. And he does not tell anybody to go get tattooed. That's just what he felt in his spirit he should do. And he wears his long hair like he does because that's where the people are at. He wears his tattered jeans because that's where the lost are at. All right. Please don't go out and get yourself tattooed for the lost. I'm just telling you, this is what God laid in his spirit to do. And, you know, so, you know, we have to do what God's telling us to do. But don't go get a tattoo because you think they're neat and say, God told me to do this. You'd be lying. And he couldn't use your tattoo then. So what are we ministering to? We're not ministering to 60, 70, 80-year-old people. We're ministering to young people in their 20s and 40s who are drug addicts and alcoholics and covered from head to toe with demonic tattoos. That's what we're ministering to. So we have to have the love and the compassion of God. We have to look past all those tattoos and everything else and look at their heart. We have to look how they've been wounded from little up, and we have to see them through Christ's eyes so we can get them into the house of God, you know, to serve God. Not just get them into the house, but get them totally, completely cleaned up and where they really want to serve God. You know, I was sitting there, I don't know why, but I was sitting there doing praise and worship, and God just brought to my, this is just what he said. He said, you know, he said, when young kids are in school, he said, you have your athletic teachers will sidle up to them and they'll become friends with one of them, and then they'll use them sexually. And I don't know why God told me that, but we do know that happens. That's how a lot of boys especially get molested, because, you know, they don't have a father figure. So, you know, another man, well, say in school, will be a father to them, but all they're doing is luring them into a bed somewhere. And then their lives are messed up. You know, and then you have all this demonic activity. And because the child wants the father's love so much, he holds on to that. And he does whatever, you know, the person asked him to do. And this is what was going on during praise and worship. God was downloading that into me. So, you know, if you know anybody that's like that, you need to love them. And you need to tell them of the love of Christ. And you need to bring them up out of that pit that they're in. And you know, and cause them to know that that's the wrong way, and there's a such better way, and a better way is Jesus. And God's saying, you guys need an anointing of strength today. That you need an anointing of strength to do the things that God's sending you to do in this dark world, because you can't go the way you are. The devil wear you out. And you need strength. So this is what the altar call is all about. Strength to go forth to minister to the dark side. You're the light. Now you need strength. So the altar's open for that.